Welcome to the Phoenix Wellness Coaching Series of podcasts with Jeanette Forder, created to help and guide you as a woman to discover yourself through the pivotal moments that matter in your life, helping you to find your purpose, power and voice through all those critical life stages.
Yes, and hello. Good to have you along with us again on this podcast series, of course, with Phoenix Wellness. My name's Glenn Thompsett, and I'm your skipper, if you like, for the next 25, 30 minutes or so, right here with Jeanette Forder, who, of course, runs Phoenix Wellness. Jeanette, how do we find you today?
Yeah, we're good again. It's, first day back after a bank holiday, just getting back into the swing of it. So really looking forward to talking to you a little bit more today.
And you told me that you ate too much chocolate cake over the weekend.
I did. Yes. Yes, I did. I hit one of those milestones, a birthday. I don't like the fact that the numbers are getting larger, but that does still mean that you can be a kid and get a birthday cake. So way too much.
Now, tell us again very briefly what you do, just to sort of get our listeners, you know, attuned to your line of business. What do you do exactly?
Yes, so I'm a women's wellness and life coach. So what I do is I work with ladies who have reached a kind of crossroads or a gateway in their lives. And that could be anything to do with their professional life or their personal lives. But what I do is I sit down with them, I work through understanding their values, their beliefs, and what's holding them back from achieving everything that they want to achieve in their lives. And I work with women of all different ages, but particularly with those at their midlives, those that are approaching menopause or going through menopause, which is a really pivotal moment for us all.
Okay. Well, the title of today's episode is Exploring Women's Midlife Choices. And we've got a guest on the show with us today. We'll bring Helen Louise Adams in a little later. She's the founder of the Female Business Revolution. Looking forward to talking to Helen about that. But you want to talk and start off with some statistics, Jeanette, regarding this particular area of discussion today. What are those stats exactly?
This was something that really interested me because I am one of those midlife ladies who has actually changed her career path and has started her own business. So I'm a female entrepreneur. And when I was thinking about what had driven me to that, I wanted to look in and look at some of the stats. And they were actually quite surprising. Certainly, the UK is seen as the startup capital of Europe, but not remarkably when it comes to women. So in the UK, only one in three entrepreneurs is female. And that means there's a huge gap in terms of the gender gap there. And that for me was quite important. Although having said that, there's almost now 1.5 million women that are self-employed. There has been a huge increase in the numbers of women who are choosing at their midpoint, so age 40 and above, they're choosing to leave the corporate world, leave the world of employment to actually start up their own businesses. And I just wanted to look at what is it that's driving that change? Is there anything going on? And, you know, what can we learn about that? And maybe actually say to employers, there might be some things you could do different here that would keep women and their expertise in the workplace. Or just how do we support them more when they decide they want to move on and run their own businesses?
And is there a higher churn rate? You say that UK women's businesses do have a higher churn rate, more startups and closures, really.
Yeah, unfortunately, there does appear to be that case. And we're not really sure what that is that's driving it. Certainly, women have a very different view when they're asked, why did your business not succeed? Unlike men who will say, oh, it's business failure, there was a problem with supply chain, money, turnover, those sorts of things. Women are more likely to say there were personal reasons for why they decided to close their business. And that could be all sorts of things, whether it is that actually they're no longer attuned or aligned to their business. And we'll talk more about that with Helen because of her intuitive coaching work, or whether it is that actually they find themselves at this point being a bit sandwiched with care responsibilities. And that's very difficult then to devote the time they need to run their business and to look after the family.
You highlight also that women, the middle age bracket, if you like, in life, they can feel marginalized and overlooked in the workspace and less likely to go for the next promotion due to a loss of confidence caused by, you know, the menopause, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know I've felt that myself. That's one of the things that has driven me to want to work with women at their midlife. I was there, had reached quite a senior position in my organization, but I actually started to feel like I didn't matter, like I wasn't adding value or nobody wanted to hear what I had to say. And you start to feel invisible and overlooked. And I know that happens to other women too. People that come to me tell me they feel that way. If we remember a few weeks back when we talked to Claire, she was struggling to actually find her way in that workplace as she had reached the perimenopause. And it is a common factor that we hear, and certainly is driving women to think, well, if I can't make it here in this organization, maybe I'll set up a business where I'm doing what I'm passionate about and actually following my own set of rules.
Absolutely. Yes. You must feel very lonely, I should imagine. We mentioned on a previous podcast, you know, after you've had your family, your children, you've raised them, you've, you know, if you've got three or four kids at home, you're going to be out of the workplace probably for a good 10 plus years. Mm. And getting back into that swing of work and that whole mindset must be so difficult, I'd imagine.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've not struggled in that respect because of not having had children, but I do know, I've seen people, women struggle to do that, and I've coached them through it. And that loss of confidence is huge. And again, midlife, you start to question everything that you're doing, question your abilities. And that isn't because you're not actually able to do what you've always done. It's just that where your hormones are changing, it has a really massive impact on your sense of worth. And you start to question. I talk to a lot of ladies that question their abilities. I know a fabulous osteopath who is really, really good, well known in her field, and does superb work getting people moving again. But she's finding that she's questioning everything that she does because suddenly, for some reason, she doesn't feel confident.
Okay.
It's a really odd one.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Okay. Mm. Let's talk more about this then, and particularly around being an entrepreneurial woman. Please do introduce your guest today then, Jeanette. Who is it?
Yeah, so I'm really excited to introduce Helen to us. Helen is the founder of the Female Business Revolution, and I love that title already. That just really resonated and sang to me. So Helen and I probably met and connected probably this time last year. So we've known each other for about a year through social media groups and networking groups. And we've been talking on and off, and Helen's been helping me and guiding me with my own business. And what she really does is she's an intuitive business coach. So she actually works with women in their 40s and older, looking at how you bring your intuition into the business. And it's just a fascinating area of work. And I'm sure, Helen, you'd like to give us a bit more of an insight into actually what you do and what's driven you to do what you do.
Hi, Glenn. Hi, Jeanette. Thanks for having me here. So I'm really excited to be here. So I will tell you the beginnings of what I did and the reason how it all came about. So from a very early age, I was an only child. I was growing up with a headmaster for a dad and a teacher for a mom. So I had absolutely no chance. And I always had this feeling from very young that I could never be who I really wanted to be. I always had to be what mum and dad wanted me to be, or the teachers at school wanted me to be. But I also knew at a very young age that I was going to break through from that and blaze my own trail and be my own person. So cutting a long story short in that part of things, all the way through my life, I discovered that when I was being my own person, when I was doing things I loved, I was happier, I was getting more money in the bank, life was good. But then I'd always have that little imposter voice, like you were talking about before, Jeanette. It would always be mummy or daddy's voice coming in when things were going too well. Ah, this can't last. This isn't a 9-to-5 job. This is not going to work forever. And then all of a sudden, I'd start retreating into my shell. And then the money would be going down into the bank. And this went on for almost 50 years. And it took me that long to realise what was going on, that what I really needed to do to have that happy life, to have that prosperous life, was to just follow my soul and be who I wanted to be. And as a result of that, I want to make sure that my 40preneurs who I work with aren't wasting more time, more energy trying to follow that and get back to where they really need to be, so they can have more years of quality life, doing what they want to do and having that life that they want, basically.
I absolutely love that. And again, it was bringing out lots of kind of memories for me. And when we talked last time with Lorraine, who was talking about how at 18 she wanted to be a school teacher, but her teacher actually said, oh, no, 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 you won't be able to do that. You're not bright enough to go to university. So she shelved her dreams and didn't find them again until after her daughter went to school. And then, you know, she's gone great guns from then onwards. And it is something about as women, and I don't know if it's just women that do this, and maybe Helen, you will have a view on this, that we somehow seem to suppress our kind of that intuitive desire that we want to do something or chase a career that will really make us feel fulfilled and satisfied. We somehow suppress that and listen to what other people around us tell us we should be doing.
Yeah, we do, because as women, we're very intuitive beings. And, you know, even from little girls, I'm sure that there's a load of ladies who are listening who can remember some incident that have happened in their lives that was just down to their intuition and they knew it, even, say, from about the ages of 6 or 7 years old. But because of the way that society's conditioned us, because of the way that, you know, mummy and daddy have said, you know, don't do anything that's not safe, don't jump in, don't take risks, don't do anything that's going to put you in danger. And, you know, we've had this sort of conditioning growing up, then yeah, we do. There's tons of women that start second guessing themselves. You know, they really want to do something. Their soul is crying out saying, yeah, do this, do this. But then something's holding them back. Something's saying, oh no. And as a result, they live a second class life. They're being an extra in their own show. And that's not what we all came here to do or be. We came here to live life to the full and really enjoy every minute and, you know, take advantage of all the good that life does have to offer.
Is it being out of the workplace, though, Helen, for a considerable length of time? You know, you're raising the family, then it's time to get back in the workplace. You want to get back into the workplace. Is it the menopause? I mean, what are the main factors that a lot of women do lose their confidence? What's the reason for that? And why do they feel like they're sort of left on the back seat, if you like, and I'm here, don't forget me, you know. What are the main reasons, do you think? Is it a lack of confidence? Is it the menopause? Is it a combination of the two? Is it more than that?
I'd say it's a combination of the two, yeah. Hormones do obviously have a part to play in it. And this thing about losing confidence because of not being in that environment for some time. But a big, big factor, I think, that a lot of people miss out on is conditioning. Because, you know, people say, oh, when you're getting old, you can't do so much anymore. Mm. Put you in the corner, love. Sit over there. Yeah. You know, let the other people get on with this. And we need to turn that around because that is so rubbish. I mean, you look at different examples of women later on in life who have done great things. And that just shows you that, you know, when you're at a certain age, you're certainly not finished. There's lots that you've got to offer still. And I think it's a case of mainly trying to change people's outlooks and change people's attitudes to people of a certain age, because this old thing, it's just, it's not a truth. So we need to sort of get people to say, any age you can do something, don't discriminate, because there's so much that that person can offer.
But that goes across both sexes. That happens for chaps as well as women. And I don't care what anybody says. I think we are in this country, in the UK, we are very ageist. You go to somewhere like the States, Australia. I mean, I know this is something that, Jeanette, you want to bring out maybe a little bit later on, but you see older women and older gents on mainstream television doing the news programs. Here, if you're past a certain age, they don't really want to know you. No. They want to put you out to graze, and that is so bad. Is it the fact that these companies are scared of experience? You're working for a younger workforce. They don't want to be told what to do. And I'm finding that with myself now in what I do. I mean, I used to do a lot of television, not so much now. I'm over 60. Is it because of my age that people don't want me on the television anymore because of my age? I don't know what it is. I mean, it's irritating, to say the least.
Definitely, Glenn. I mean, I agree. It goes across both genders. But what is, for me, is a stark contrast is if you actually read an article and they're talking about a man and a woman, they will say, you know, Fred blogs, blah, 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 and his wife, Jane blogs, 57. But they don't do that for the man.
It's interesting.
And it's like, what's that all about? And it only occurred to me the other day when I was reading an article, strangely, about cat food that was potentially poisoning cats. But as a cat owner, it was an interesting one. And that really showed up for me. It's like, why is it that we have the woman's age in there, but not the guy's age?
Mm.
And why does that matter? It was even down to when they talked about their children. They didn't put the boy's age in, but they did the daughter's.
That's strange, isn't it?
And I don't know what it is. And there is something about, maybe it is our social media culture, where there is so much about being young and perfect and beautiful and all of that.
It's a lot to blame for it, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And people see that, and that's really what they want to see. They don't want to see an older woman or an older man. But actually, we're also an aging demographic. So before too long, they're going to have to do that. But you do, as certainly I know that when I hit 50 in the workplace and I was in a very, you know, matriarchal culture, actually still it was like, no, the prime jobs, those kind of really very visible, high profile work and projects went to the younger graduates. Yeah. And it's like, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but actually they didn't have the life experience to be able to put that forward.
Yeah.
I don't know really what it is. I don't know, Helen, whether you have any thoughts on that at all.
Yeah, it's what we see, isn't it, is a society that's very much based on the visual, and that's the first thing person looks at, seeing, you know, this is this young person, this is going to be somebody who's more relatable. And we're back to this conditioning again, aren't we? Mm. You know, this thing that because we've got a few more lines on our face, or our skin's a little bit saggy, we're not classed as, you know, as useful, for want of a better word, than those other guys are. So it's just a case of pushing through with this and trying to get more people seeing these older people and realising that it should be a norm and not an exception.
So in your experience then, Helen, what do you think is this sort of key driver that we're seeing this rise in the, what you call the 40 fempreneur? What's causing this sudden rise, if you like?
There's a few reasons. So first of all, I would say there are a lot of people who are thinking, yeah, if I go back to work, I'm going to be left out. I'm going to be sat in the corner. I'm not going to be making the decisions and being part of the main force. So they're thinking, okay, why should I put up with that? Why shouldn't I be sort of now the captain of my own ship and start doing something for me? And also on the back of that, there's a bit of a notion of, why should I be making someone else rich? Why shouldn't I start making myself and my family a bit richer instead? So I can see a lot of that in there too with the women that I work with. And also these hormonal things, when we get these meltdowns, for want of a better word, in the workplace, you don't have to worry about things like that at home. You can do your business the way that you want to do. If you're having a bit of a wonky day, you can spend the morning in bed and then you can work in the evening instead. So it's much more flexible. Mm. So I would say it's a combination of all those reasons. But it's a little bit as well of when women are 40, they're starting to find themselves again, because a lot of their children are sort of tens or teenagers. They're starting to have a bit more time on their own, and they're starting to think, right, I need to find the real me too, as well as being a mum or as well as being a wife or a partner. I want to do something for me. So there's a lot of that element in there too.
What if you're not that sort of confident, though, Helen? I mean, you help people through this, as does Jeanette. You know, you're great at confidence building. But if you're the sort of person who's gone back into the workplace as a woman after, you know, raising the family, you're trying to be recognised again, and you're not being recognised, and you're thinking, well, I'm fed up with this, I need to go and do my own thing. If you're not that confident, that's a tricky thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So what you can start to do is just build it up a little bit. Don't burn your bolts, leave the workplace. Try it for a little. Think of something that you like doing, something that could bring in a small amount of money to start off with. Just test the water. Do it for, say, a few hours a week. See how it goes. And then as it starts to grow, your confidence starts to build. And then you can choose the next step you want to go to, whether you want to put more work into it, put more effort into it, and decrease your hours in the job. But if you're not confident, I would say, don't jump into it. Try it bit by bit and see how you go. That'd be the best approach.
That's certainly great advice there, Helen. And when you were talking, I was sitting here frantically nodding away, thinking, it's a shame we're not on video because you could have seen me doing that. But it really resonates with me. So, you know, back in my early 30s, I had that moment of, I want to be my own boss. And that was really because I wanted freedom and choice, but at the time didn't feel confident enough and didn't know what I wanted to do. So like most women, my career meandered around. It didn't really have a straightforward trajectory. It went pretty much all over the place, as is the way that we tend to build those careers. But when I decided, you know, through the pandemic and earlier, that really it was now or never. And it was really definitely, I'm going to do this. I did that. I reduced my hours so I didn't burn those bridges and still had the income coming in. And I dabbled. And I know we've talked about this, haven't we, Helen? I dabbled and pretended that I was a businesswoman and did that for about 3 months before I went, you know what, I've got to be all in. And you do have to, at that point, think, I need to be all in on this, because it's hard to have, you know, feet in both camps because you're not doing a great job on either side. But yeah, that dabbling enabled me to actually find my confidence to be able to do it. So I think that's superb advice, definitely.
Yeah, and I'm one of these, I suppose you'd call me on the mad end of things, because I'm one of those ones who I jump right in. And I tend to attract a lot of people who do jump right in, but I know there are people out there who can't do that. So this dabbling is good in some cases. And I think you get to a stage then where you think, right, am I really living my own truth? Am I really, you know, wanting to do something for something else instead of me? And then all of a sudden you change your mind and you think, ah, I'm living a lie almost. Mm. I need to get out of this now and I need to start blazing my own trail. Just like what you did, Jeanette.
Yeah, that definitely. I remember us having that conversation as well. Many, many times you had that conversation with me and I kept going, nope, not listening, don't want to know. So, and then suddenly I'm doing it.
So, Jeanette, is it fair to say that Helen coaxed you on then to what you're doing now?
Yes, I think it is fair to say that certainly Helen had those conversations with me early on. She kind of watched my progress. She pushed me. And then I did very recently join one of Helen's actual programs. So officially went into her 8-week program. Mm. And, you know, at the time last year, I wasn't ready to do that. But, you know, I remember Helen saying to me, oh, you need to do a YouTube channel. You need to get podcasts. You've got to get out there, get in the media. And I was like, no, you've got to be joking. But actually that was me denying the fact that I wanted to grow a successful business. I was doing that.
Yeah,
whole,
I remember
oh,
that,
I just want to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
I was denying
I remember
it.
That. You were getting really shirty on that phone.
I know.
Expletives, eh? We'll have to get the beep button out. Yeah.
But Helen found the me that was digging her heels in.
Yes.
But Helen, can you tell from the off pretty well, you know, somebody like Jeanette comes along to you, can you tell from the off if a certain person has got it to push themselves further or not?
Yeah, you usually can, because especially being an intuitive coach, one of the first things that you pick up on is a person's energy. It's all that other stuff that they're not saying, their body language, how they're reacting, how they're holding themselves, even by that, you know, and you think, right, yeah, this one will do something. Or just another one might be, oh, this one's a load of talk and no action. So I listen to him for a bit and then I let him go.
And do you set like little exercises for your clients to do? I mean, what do? You assess them? I had this chat, first of all, with Jeanette and how she gets clients on board and what the process is. Is it similar for you? Do you assess them? Do you give them a little bit of an analysis session, find out where they want to go with their lives? What's the process?
Yeah, so I do assess them. So before they have their 1 hour discovery call with me, so I can see what they're after and what they want to go, I'll send them a sheet to fill in with questions on it so I know what's going on. So right from there, I will know if they're the right people to work with or not. So if they are, we'll have the discovery call. I'll find out what they want. And then we just take it from there. So I have a number of options. They can either go on the group program like Jeanette did, or they can do some one-to-one work with me. But the basic aim of what I do with them is the three things. Give them the clarity that they want, and I get them to open right up. So they're not just thinking about what somebody else thinks they can have or do. They be true to themselves. they open their energy right up and they say, right, okay, I want to make £1 million in 3 years. That's just an example. And if somebody else told me no, then it doesn't matter. All I need to know is my intuition. So the basic thing of what I'm teaching them is to make friends with their intuition. And if even if they're the only one who's saying that or feeling it, to give them that strength, build up that courage to go through with it. Because a lot of people out there could miss out if they didn't follow those ideas or did what their intuition was telling them to do. Because once you start doing that, you can move mountains, you can make the money you want, you can save a ton of time and energy, and you can really save your life as well.
A little phrase you used there, and it really leapt out at me, Jeanette, was be true to yourself.
Absolutely. Being authentic is really important. And I remember, I'm not sure if it was Helen or it was another lady that I was talking to who said to me, you need to be out there speaking your truth. I spent days thinking, what is my truth? With a capital T. Yeah. I was thinking it was a thing, something I had to be, a story I had to be telling or something I had to be doing. When actually my intuition said, no, speaking your truth is just being out there and being you. Being Jeanette, empowering other women to do what you've done, if that's where they want to go. And just talking about that, talking about the struggles and the good times. Again, I was on a call today and someone said, at the end of this week, don't look at your successes, celebrate where things went wrong, because that's where you learnt, because failure is part of success. And it's a whole different way of thinking about things.
Would you agree with that, Helen?
Yeah, in a sense. I mean, this is only just something recently that I've taken on board, but I'd add something else to that. I'm still in the process of working with this, but treat failure and success the same. Don't get really, really excited about success and don't get really, really down about failure. Try and get to that stage where you're on an even keel with everything.
Question we ask a number of our guests, Jeanette, don't we? And that is, Helen, what would your key piece of advice be to your younger self or to a woman considering starting up her own business?
Oh, follow your intuition. Definitely. Don't listen to anybody else. There's the one thing in your life that will never take you down the wrong path, and that's your intuition. But you have to have the guts to follow it, even if you're the only person who's thinking it. If you know, if you have that feeling in your body, if all your cells are in harmony with what it's telling you to do, then you know that's your intuition. You have to start developing that muscle and following it, and you will have the life that you really want. You'll be the star of your own movie.
Great bit of advice, isn't it?
It is, definitely. I love that. And it is so true. You know, I know from where I've set up my own business, so many people said to me when I was leaving the civil service, oh my God, you're so brave. That's a huge step to take. Oh, what if it doesn't work? And I just said to them, I don't actually see myself as brave. It just feels like the right thing to do for me right now. I'm ready for it. And I know it's going to be a success. And they looked at me as if I'd completely lost my marbles, I think, because they just didn't get that. It's like, how can you start something up and know it's going to be a success? It's like, it's what I want to do. It's what I'm passionate about.
All right. Fascinating conversation with you. Thank you so much, Helen. If anybody wants more details, as you've been really one of our first key experts here on the Phoenix Wellness podcast, how do they get in touch with you? What's the best route?
Okay, so all my links are on Linktree. So it's linktr.ee/HelenLouiseAdams. You'll find everything you need on there.
Give us that again. What was that address?
So it's linktr.ee/HelenLouiseAdams.
That's Helen Louise Adams, founder of the Female Business Revolution. Thank you for joining us today on the podcast.
Thank you, Helen. It was really good to talk to you and bring your insights to the table here. And that's one of the things as a life coach, I wanted to make sure that people understand I don't work alone. So there might be areas that I'm not the best or have the best expertise to be able to help people with, but I have a whole cast of people in my own sphere of influence, and Helen would be one of those ladies. So it's really good to have you on here, Helen. I've enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you.
Give our love to the northwest of England, and especially that flag behind you. I can see you on a FaceTime link here. Yeah. I can see Helen, Jeanette, you can't. No. What is the flag behind you?
This is the flag of Brazil, and this was a present from a guy when I was in a samba band. He gave me this, and it was the only place I could put it. So, yes, Brazil. So it's bringing a bit of sunshine all the way from Brazil to my house.
Lovely. All right. Well, lovely to talk to you, Helen. Thanks so much for joining us. So again, Jeanette, more evidence that our lives can take numerous twists and turns along the way, and some great advice there from Helen.
Yeah, absolutely. Helen is absolutely great. She's really passionate about what she does, and she's been a massive support to me. And I know that there's other ladies out there that would want to be learning how to harness their intuition, or thinking, my gut's telling me this, should I listen to it? So it's been a great conversation.
Great help from Helen. Great help also from yourself, Jeanette. I mean, it's a heck of a journey, isn't it? Trying to get back into the workplace and becoming that entrepreneur. You know, you're not getting the rewards from an organisation you work for. You're thinking, well, to heck with it, I'm going to go off and do my own thing. You need a lot of support, don't you, for that?
Yeah, you absolutely do. It is a big step to take, but then every step in life that is going to take you closer to the life that you want is going to be a big step. But you don't have to do it alone. I haven't. And that's, you know, part of my stepping into my truth is I haven't done this on my own. I've had great support from my family, my friends, and from people that I've met where I've been exploring what I wanted to do. People like Helen, and then other ladies and gentlemen that I'm going to bring into the conversation in the coming weeks. But, you know, it is out there for the taking.
Exploring Women's Midlife Choices is what you've been listening to today. That's the title of our Phoenix Wellness podcast with Jeanette Forder, of course, who runs Phoenix Wellness. Contact details to get in touch with Jeanette on the way in just a moment. But we can look forward to a lot more in the podcast series, can't we, Jeanette? Just give us a little clue as to what we can look forward to in the coming months.
Yeah, we've got a lot coming up, and something that I'm really excited about and are just trying to secure dates is I'm going to be talking to a couple. I'm going to be talking to a chap called Graham and his wife, Val, who are actually going to tell us about their experiences when she went into the menopause at quite an early age in her mid-30s. And they're going to talk about just how that impacted both of their life choices and their marriage, their relationship, everything. And I'm really looking forward to that. I'm just so happy that we can bring them both into this conversation, because you can't talk about the menopause and women's life choices without the guys in their lives and how that impacts them. So I'm really looking forward to that one. And then we have other experts in their field lined up as well. So lots to look forward to.
Lots to look forward to indeed. And if you're listening to this podcast on your favourite podcast platform, just hit the subscribe button. That way you'll be notified when the next episode of the Phoenix Wellness podcast is available for you to listen to. It's been great talking to Jeanette. Another busy week lined up, I'm sure, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Jeanette Forder of Phoenix Wellness Coaching. Please listen for other episodes in this series designed to help you as a woman through the critical moments in your life. And for more information, please go to phoenixwellness.co.uk.